Hallelujah. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. You have to start every Easter sermon with that. Well, if I were to gather a group of Christians and ask them what Easter means to each of them, I know I would hear many different points of view, some of them very personal and some of them very private. However, I'm confident that I could pick out a thread that runs through all of them. Gratitude that in the resurrection of Jesus, God has given us hope. This is not the passive kind of hope, but a robust, life-changing, life-supporting kind of hope that celebrates the victory of life over death. With life's victory comes the opportunity for salvation and everlasting life, two concepts that animate all of the Apostle Paul's letters to the new churches he founded. As Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians reading that we heard this morning, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. To a world without hope, this is always, every year, surpassing good news. Yet much of the world lives trapped in the conviction that what you see is what you get. There couldn't possibly be more to life. There couldn't be a spiritual dimension in which salvation is the gift of a new kind of life. Even faithful Christians sometimes find themselves swayed by this point of view. A man sits on his bunk in his jail cell with his head in his hands, filled with remorse and guilt after leaving the scene of a hit and run in which a young college student was killed. Who will roll away the stone? A 12-year-old girl tells her parents that she was too afraid to help a friend who is the victim of bullying every day on the school bus going to and from school. Who will roll away the stone? Are you catching on now? This is kind of a litany. So your part is, who will roll away the stone? Okay. An elderly man estranged from all his children for years because of his alcoholism sits alone in his room at a rent-by-the-month motel. Who will roll away the stone? An 8-year-old boy lies awake at night wondering how to tell his best friend that he was the one who took his stamp collection out of his school locker. Who will roll away the stone? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went to the tomb where Jesus was buried very early on the first day of the week. It was dark and hard to see the way. They brought spices and strips of cloth to anoint and wrap his body, according to Jewish burial customs. It's clear that they did not believe what Jesus had told his disciples, that he would die and be buried and rise again on the third day. After Jesus' death, all their hopes and dreams died with him. They had returned to life as usual, in which the usual things must be done. All of God's wonderful promises had receded again into the background, to be saved for another time, another place. They were brokenhearted, so it was with tear-streaked faces that they stumbled down the path in the dark, afraid to make a noise lest the Roman soldiers hear them. They would offer Jesus, the one they loved, the last service of anointing him for burial. And as they walked, Scripture tells us that they wondered, who will roll away the stone? Serena Jones writes, Mark gives us a powerful account of God's good news by giving us these traumatized, determined women as witnesses to God's truth. It is not just pride or falsehood or arrogance or violent boasting that God redeems. It is also the nether regions of life where we are broken by violence and by love, and by the sheer exhaustion of the labor that it takes to go on. Here, where we expect to find him dead, The tomb does not hold him as well. And with often unspoken force, grace abounds. Grace abounds. The huge, heavy stone has been rolled away, and the body of Jesus is gone. A young man dressed in white spoke to the women, telling them not to be afraid, and asked them to tell the others that the risen Lord will meet them in Galilee. Now, in this story in Mark, the women react differently than they do in the other Gospels. They are terrified, filled with fear, for they had been expecting the world as everyone knows it is. The dead are dead, not raised and walking in Galilee. And so the women run away. They run away and deny Jesus just as all the other disciples had. And that is how the gospel according to Mark ends, for scholars question the endings after this story as happy endings pasted on to an abrupt non-ending. The last sentence in the gospel according to Mark is, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Well, a few years ago, actually quite a few years ago, now looking back, I went to a preaching conference in Atlanta, and out of many moving and accomplished sermons, I still remember one preached by Tom Long, who is my former Princeton Seminary preaching professor. I couldn't tell you what the sermon was about, but I remember that he ended it just like Mark did. He ended it abruptly with a harsh statement, and then he sat down, and that was that. He didn't say another word. It was a huge sanctuary in one of the big Atlanta churches. I think it was an Atlanta Methodist church, full of preachers from all over the country, and there wasn't a sound, not even a breath. He left us all hanging, swinging in the wind, as if to say, "You finish this sermon. It's up to you." This is what Mark has done for us by ending his gospel account in this way. The women ran away because they were afraid. Could this really be the way that God's great inbreaking into history would end, with the sound of the women's feet running back up the stony path away from the tomb? We are used to death. We, like the women, don't expect resurrection. Mark left us hanging because his whole gospel has emphasized discipleship over and over again. God works through disciples. They are God's hands and feet and loving heart. The future of the gospel is up to us. The future of the gospel is up to us. God has raised Jesus from the dead. God has rolled away the stone. God has proclaimed the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in Galilee. And the next chapter of the story is up to us. Kyoko Ogawa watched her family's hotel in Atsuchi, Japan, burned to the ground after a gas explosion caused by the tsunami that we all remember. It was such a horrible tragedy years ago. Her son was missing and feared dead. Her whole life was washed away by raging water and raging fire. Her town was in ruins. Even the discovery that her son was alive could not bring her out of her fear and depression. She felt like the walking dead and had thoughts of suicide. But then she met Suime Morikawa, a volunteer psychiatrist who listened to her and gradually brought her back to life. Who will roll away the stone? Sherry Enix was babysitting her grandson and two other children when a tornado hit her home in Forney, Texas. She grabbed her grandson up in her arms and put the other two children in a bathtub for protection. The terrible vacuum of the wind sucked her grandchild from her arms, and he was suspended for a moment before her. She was able to grab him and pull him back to her chest to safety while she held onto him with all her strength, debris flying all around them. A man heard her screams for help and was able to pull her and the other children out from under a huge pile of rubble, all that was left of her home. Who will roll away the stone? You know, there were two small congregations in Wabash Valley Presbytery in northern Indiana, where I was a pastor for many years. And they were moved by the desperation they saw on the faces of the earthquake survivors in Haiti and wanted to do something to help. They decided that they could use their church's mission dollars and the construction talents of some of their members to go to Haiti themselves and help. They went to a small city outside of Port-au-Prince and helped rebuild a church so the people would have a place to assemble and celebrate God's goodness through the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. Those same congregations are organizing a return trip, hoping that more congregations will join them. And later, I became the interim pastor of one of them in Flora, Indiana. Who will roll away the stone? A small Presbyterian congregation in White Rock, New Mexico, has been participating in cooperative projects with the Navajo House of Fellowship Church near Gallup for many years, helping to alleviate poverty and the life challenges that brings to parishioners who have become their dear friends. Who will roll away the stone? You know, a life of discipleship that begins with the empty tomb is a demanding yet intensely satisfying life. Being loved by God enough that God's Son would give his life for us opens us to another deeper kind of love for our neighbors. Our lives are part of the ongoing story of the empty tomb and the risen Lord. He is always out ahead of us, walking in Galilee, or in the darkness of city streets, or in the terrible rush of a tsunami, or the roar of a tornado, or even in the quiet tears of the bereaved. Who will roll away the stone? Alleluia!
Alleluia.
Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray. Risen Lord, we are overwhelmed with joy that you are risen from the dead. Our universe is filled with rejoicing as endless possibilities for love and service open before us. Guide us and inspire us, for we are your Easter people. You have rolled the stone away, and the grave is empty. Your resurrection light fills our world. Let all the people say, Amen.